My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Joseph Jaffe hosts a great podcast called Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous. Joseph, tell listeners what to expect from the show where you're not famous.
Joseph Jaffe is still not famous. It's the daily show for business with a little Wayne's World thrown in for good measure. Since March 2020, I've welcomed over 650 guests, including Dan Pink, Tom Peters, Carol Baskin, Patrick Fabian, Robin DiAngelo, and even the very famous Jason Falls. It's a show about hope, positivity, and optimism, or as I like to say, it's not TV, it's HPO, where you'll get eulogy virtues to balance out my very famous guests' resume virtues.
And where can people subscribe?
Check out youtube.com/ Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous. Find the show at marketingpodcast.net or search for Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous wherever you get your podcasts. Enough name recognition for you?
Plenty. And now that you know the name, go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Jason Falls.
What I want the world to do is just mature their thinking and realize, okay, influencer marketing keeps our focal point zeroed in on Instagrammers and YouTubers and TikTokers. But what we're really trying to do is influence an audience to take action. And that opens up the blinders and allows us to see the full array in front of us of options.
Jason is a leading digital strategist, author, speaker, and thinker in the digital and social media marketing industry. He is an innovator in the conversation research segment of social analytics, having published the first ever conversation report in 2012. He is the author of 3 books, Winfluence, Reframing Influencer Marketing to Ignite Your Brand, No Bullshit Social Media, The All Business, No Hype Guide to Social Media Marketing, co-authored with Eric Deckers, The Rebel's Guide to Email Marketing, co-authored with DJ Waldo. In 2021, he founded and serves as executive producer of the Marketing Podcast Network, an exciting new network of marketing-focused podcasts that On Brand is now a member of. And that is one of the many reasons we're thrilled to have Jason back with us once again. Jason, welcome back to On Brand.
Glad to be here. I love your theme music. It puts me in a great mood. So I would be on your show every day if I could.
Toe-tapping theme music wonder.
Well, it's swinging, baby.
Well, it is exciting. And, you know, this is the very first new episode of the On Brand podcast as a member of the Marketing Podcast Network. And this was an initiative that I am so thrilled that you put together. You know, podcasting is something that so many of us have been chipping away at for a while. You've got multiple shows. And it can at times feel like a solitary pursuit. Everyone's out there. It's kind of like the newer version of blogging. Everyone's chipping away, doing their own thing. It's exciting to be a part of something. What led you to start this?
Well, I've been I've been like every podcaster for the last few years. I've been trying to figure out ways to grow my podcast, make sure that it's exposed to a lot of audiences. Both of my podcasts, one of them I do for Cornette, the agency where I work, but the other one is really sort of a supportive project that went along with one of my books. But they're really both kind of mine to do with what I want, but I don't have a budget to put behind promoting them. So I'm constantly looking for interesting ways to either cross promote, to have somebody who's a host of another show on my show, so they'll have me on their show and all that good stuff. And I was I joined up Jeffrey Hazlett's C-Suite Network a couple of years ago. And the reason I joined C-Suite Network was because he had a C-Suite radio division, which was basically a network of podcasts. And the idea was, let's gather a bunch of, you know, business podcasts together and, you know, maybe cross promote one another and maybe do a rev share on advertising and things like that. And I thought, well, those are two things that I find attractive and I'm going to join this network. Well, after 2 years of being on that, I wasn't getting the cross promotion out of it that I felt like I wanted or needed or could have gotten. And I wasn't getting rev share out of it either. And so and that's not to say that the C-Suite Network isn't a fantastic opportunity, because there's a lot more than just the podcast piece of it. The C-Suite Radio is one small piece of Jeffrey's larger sort of business content community, you know, thing. And there's a lot of value and a lot of benefit that can come out of being a member of that. So don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining about the whole thing. I'm just saying, for me and my purposes, what I was there for wasn't working out as well as I thought. So I started thinking about, well, if I were to find a podcast network out there, what would I want out of one? And it's those two things. I want to be cross promoted to like-minded audiences, and I want to have some ability to sort of aggregate my downloads with other podcasters so that we can formulate a reasonable ad network and potentially make some money. It's not about money, but that little bit of extra, you know, motivation and validation gives you, you know, makes you get excited to get up and create another episode. So I thought that that would be something that I'd want to be a part of. And I looked around in the marketing space specifically, and there just wasn't anything. And so I saw that as an opportunity. Well, I'm going to create it. And so the idea for the Marketing Podcast Network kind of came about. It was originally me and three or four other people who do podcasts about specifically influencer marketing. And then I thought, well, that's going to be really limiting, because that's so niche that even aggregated together, we're not going to have, you know, 15, 20,000 downloads a month. But which, you know, if you don't have 20 or 30,000 downloads a month, you're not making a lot of M's off them CPMs, right? or you're not making a lot of CPMs off the M's, because there's not a lot of M's to make. So it has to be broader than that. So I started thinking, well, I know a lot of people in the marketing space, and I know a lot of people who they want to monetize their podcast, but they really don't have the audience size to do it. And they might be interested in this aggregation thing. And I know a lot of people who have thought leadership podcasts, and they really want to cross promote them and grow that audience. So it all just kind of came together. It seemed like a good idea. And as I bounced it off a couple of people like you, everybody was like nodding and saying, yeah, that's going to work. So I did it.
Well, and I'm, for one, like I said, I'm thankful that you did, because we are all kind of chipping away out here, and it can be a solitary pursuit. So it's nice to also have that kind of sense of community. Speaking of the community, talk about some of the other shows. So your two shows, you mentioned Digging Deeper and Winfluence, part of the network. What else is a part of the Marketing Podcast Network?
Sure. So one of my original influencer marketing podcasters, Gordon Glenister, he's out of the United Kingdom, and he does a great podcast called the Influence Global Podcast. And he is an old a trade association guy. So he's got the enormous network of connections from his work with trade associations over the years. So he interviews kind of a who's who in the influence marketing space from, you know, mostly the United Kingdom, but also Europe and around the world. And so that brings if you're interested in influence marketing, that brings a very different perspective to the table than my show, Winfluence, which is the same kind of thing, but really more U.S. focused, even though I'll interview anybody. So you got a couple influence marketing shows. Digging Deeper, my show is more of a marketing strategy creative talk show where I interview, you know, someone from that space. It's agencies and brand managers get a lot out of that. Then we've got Tanya Daka's Copy Arena. She's a copywriter, and her podcast is all about, you know, building dynamic copy and writing dynamic copy for your business. So very niche and specific, but a very good show as well. Dave Delaney is on here. A lot of people know Dave from the marketing community. He's a great sort of internal communications strategist, and he has a podcast. I actually love the concept. It's called the Nice Podcast. And Dave is one of the nicest guys in the world. It's absolutely on brand for him.
Yep.
And he basically teaches companies how to be nice to their employees and build really good internal cultures. So there's an internal culture thing that kind of goes along with that. And then my pal Seth Goldstein has two shows. One is called The Digital Marketing Dive, which is kind of a seasonal show. He'll do like 20 episodes or so over the course of a couple months, and then it kind of goes dark for a little while. But he interviews and talks to people very specifically about digital marketing and does a great job with that. He's out of Philadelphia. And then he also hosts a really good show called Entrepreneur's Enigma, where he branches a little bit further out from the marketing world, but it's still very marketing oriented. And he talks to, obviously, entrepreneurs, people at startups and whatnot about how they're building their businesses. So those are the shows that are currently on the network. And then I'm hoping within the next, you know, couple of weeks, as we continue to grow, we're going to add, I've got two shows right now that I've got a contract in front of that I'm hoping that they'll sign off on. We'll have a couple of very public relations, corp comms, communication centric shows. And then we're going to hopefully grow from there.
Well, again, I'm a biased audience, but I think you make such a good point about, you know, we've both got kids. I always remember the movie Robots, I think it was, where there's an inventor character, and it's the see a need, fill a need. And you talk about, there's so many great shows out there, and I think putting your arms around them, I really truly believe that a high tide raises all ships. And as you walk through those shows, shows like Dave's, it's just it's a community that I was really excited to be a part of. So I think that's really neat as well.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Joseph Jaffe hosts a great podcast called Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous. Joseph, tell listeners what to expect from the show where you're not famous.
Joseph Jaffe is still not famous. It's the daily show for business with a little Wayne's World thrown in for good measure. Since March 2020, I've welcomed over 650 guests, including Dan Pink, Tom Peters, Carol Baskin, Patrick Fabian, Robin DiAngelo, and even the very famous Jason Falls. It's a show about hope, positivity, and optimism, or as I like to say, it's not TV, it's HPO, where you'll get eulogy virtues to balance out my very famous guests' resume virtues.
And where can people subscribe?
Check out youtube.com/ Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous. Find the show at marketingpodcast.net or search for Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous wherever you get your podcasts. Enough name recognition for you?
Plenty. And now that you know the name, go subscribe.
So in looking at podcasts and brand building around podcasts, you know, you mentioned both of your shows, and I'm not sure I've ever asked you this before, and I think it's probably something that we have folks listening out there that they wonder about, especially small, scrappy marketers who are trying to do more with less, embracing the podcast space, but also wondering, if I have something else, is this another show? And I'm talking to someone who has grappled with that very question. How do you know that that's the right thing to do?
That's a really good question. And I think, most people who are thinking about a podcast or have a podcast that's really focused around their business, they probably have a very clear definition of this is what we talk about. This is who we talk to. This is, kind of the format of our show. But when you have an idea or you have a guest that sparks that idea that seems to be very different, the exercise that I always go through is, can I replicate that seems to be different? Can I have more guests like this that sort of separates that content a bit? And the way that Digging Deeper started, which Digging Deeper is sort of the marketing strategy podcast, it literally started with me. It was when Facebook Live first came out, and I had an early chiropractor appointment on Tuesday mornings. And so I would go into the chiropractor and then I'd get into the office at like 7:45 because my chiropractor is really quick and I was always the first person on the docket that day. Well, for an hour from 8 to 9 before, the day really started at Cornette, I would just throw on Facebook Live and start talking to people and say, hey, this Facebook Live is really cool. Jump in the comment section and ask me questions and we'll just talk and we'll have a good time. Well, after a few weeks, I realized, God, I'm getting a couple dozen people watching this thing. This could be a live stream show. And I turned it into a show. And then eventually I started inviting people on to be interviewed and it became a live stream interview show. And then I would pull the audio off and just post that out there as a podcast. And that's how Digging Deeper kind of began. It wasn't originally called Digging Deeper, but eventually I realized I'm doing this at work on company time. It needs to be about Cornette. It needs to be a Cornette thing, not a Jason Falls thing. And so the official sort of branding and formulation of what Digging Deeper is now evolved over time into, we're going to talk about marketing and creativity and strategy. And we're going to talk about things that, brand managers and VPs of marketing and directors of marketing want to know about. We're going to talk to a lot of CMOs and whatnot on the show. So that was kind of the focus and how we defined that. Fast forward a few months, or actually about a year or so into it all, I'm writing this book on influence marketing, and I realize I wanted to start having a bunch of people on Digging Deeper to talk about influencer marketing, but that wasn't the specific focus of that show. It felt a little different. And so I said, well, I'm interviewing, 20 or 30 people for my book. I could have them all on a separate podcast. So that's where I said, okay, let's branch this off and let's have something different. It's going to be very niche and very focused on influencer marketing. And I love it when I get pitched by people who are like, I've got a great podcast suggestion for Winfluence. This person is an investment banker and they know how to build banks. And I'm like, that's not what I talk about on this show at all. Like it's completely – and even people who are like, this is a person who is a – award-winning creative director at an advertising agency, and they've got something to say about creativity. That's not for Winfluence either, because Winfluence is very tightly filtered around influencer marketing. So when you have something that feels different and you can replicate that feeling of difference in show topics and or guests, then I think you're ready to think about that as a separate thing. But then you also certainly have to ask yourself, do I have the bandwidth? Can I do right. this? Do I have the time? That kind of thing.
So it sounds like difference with you, one lens to look through is, and I think you pointed this out, you really ultimately have two different brands there because there's Cornette as a business and then Jason Falls as a personal brand, as an author, as a thought leader. But really, for others listening, it comes down to focus and audience, yes? Mm-hmm.
It does. It's the topical focus, which I think creates a different audience because the people who pay attention to Winfluence are not the people who pay attention to Digging Deeper. Digging Deeper, it's the same job category, but it's a different sort of, I guess, psychographic or job function because CMOs listen to both of those shows, but the only CMOs that listen to Winfluence are ones that are keenly interested in understanding influencer marketing at a much deeper level. Some of the CMOs who listen to Digging Deeper are much more, broad – you know, focused. They're worried about, you know, multi-million dollar ad campaigns and coordinating television advertising and buying media and all this kind of stuff, which is stuff we don't talk about on WinFluence. And unless that CMO has a particular interest in influencer marketing and getting smarter about that, they're never going to listen to WinFluence. And that's okay. Those are two very separate mentalities. I do think there's a lot of people who listen to WinFluence who also listen to Digging Deeper because that takes them up a step in the sort of topical focus in marketing. But there's a lot of people who listen to WinFluence who don't listen to Digging Deeper because they're not interested in those broader topics of maybe media or maybe, you know, running an agency. Sometimes we have agency people in to talk about that. You know, we have a lot of CMOs of brands, and if they're not specifically talking about influencer marketing, then those WinFluence audience members aren't going to be interested in that episode either. So there really are two different audiences. Again, they're the same general job descriptions, the same general type of people who listen to the show within the industry, but they have different focal points for their executions and their businesses.
You know, you mentioning you know, your focus on influence marketing. In moving my podcast, I had occasion to thumb through past episodes, and I did. I found when you were on earlier talking about really that difference between, and I was careful how I said it. I was real slow and deliberate because we talked a lot about the difference between influence marketing mm-hmm. and influencer marketing, and we hear these terms bandied about, and I really feel like it's almost like these aren't new ideas, but is this a second age of influence marketing?
Well, I think, you know, you're absolutely right in that these aren't new ideas. I mean, influencer marketing is a term that's been used for about the last 6 or 7 years, but influencer marketing by definition has been around for centuries. The concept of is this a new wave of influencer marketing? I honestly think that what I'm promoting in the book is not a new wave. It's a broader way of thinking, because the way that people, when you hear the term influencer marketing these days, you typically by default, because of how the mainstream media has portrayed that, unless you're in the nitty gritty in the industry, if you're just a business owner who you've heard about it, but you don't really get into the weeds. When you think of influencer marketing, you probably think of, you know, peace sign, duck lips, people taking selfies on Instagram and maybe some YouTubers and maybe some Snapchatters and things like that. And you're like, yeah, that's what influencers are. When you get to know influence marketing a little bit deeper, and I intentionally don't use the R there, you understand that even the world of online influencers is much more substantive and much deeper and broader than you think it is. But that's what you typically think about. What I want the world to do is just mature their thinking and realize, okay, influencer marketing keeps our focal point zeroed in on Instagrammers and YouTubers and TikTokers. But what we're really trying to do is influence an audience to take action. And that opens up the blinders and allows us to see the full array in front of us of options. It could be that social media, quote unquote, influencers are a channel to influence the audience we want to reach. But it might also be that we really need to influence state legislators to change the law on a given topic so that it opens up an opportunity for us to grow our business. And that is influence marketing, but it's not using anybody on TikTok or YouTube or anywhere else. And so by definition, what we're talking about is broadly just marketing, just persuasion, right? You know, and all of the things that fall under that. But what I want to try to encourage people to think of is when you're thinking of influence marketing without the R, you're thinking of, okay, how can I use third-party channels, third-party individual people or third-party organizations, third-party media publications, so PR falls into this as well, media relations falls into this as well. How can I use third parties between me and the audience that I want to reach to influence that audience to do what I want them to do, think what I want them to think, say what I want them to say, etc.? And so by definition, what I'm saying is it's not a new wave of influencer marketing. It's just a broader way of thinking about influence in general.
You know, I was disappointed when I cracked the cover of the book and there weren't nearly enough duck-faced selfies of the author in it. was led to believe this was something else, and apparently it's a broad way of looking at marketing, which I guess I'll have to deal with.
It's added value. You can request peace sign duck lips selfies from me anytime. I will send you them privately.
Well, you've heard it here first, folks. That's where you go. So we were talking beforehand, and I said, what beyond MPN, because that's what you and I have been talking about a lot lately. I said, what else have you been working on? You said I've been thinking a lot about the metaverse, and what the hell does that mean?
Well, right now we don't know what it means. This whole announcement that the parent company now of Facebook and Instagram is going to be called Meta, and Zuckerberg talking about the metaverse and whatnot. I don't know what that looks like 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. I don't think anybody really does. But what I do know is that companies like Facebook, and other companies and investors out there are moving toward this idea that augmented reality, virtual reality, cryptocurrency, blockchain technology, NFTs and whatnot, those seem to be the fatty kind of hot topics of the day. But when you look at where the Silicon Valley investor monies are going, it's going to companies that are developing this new world. And this new world, I think, is going to be very different than what we think of the internet or social media today. And so I don't know what it looks like, but I've been trying to read up and see a bunch of different perspectives from a bunch of different people out there so that I can get an idea of, are we talking about we're going to just walk through the world looking through the viewfinder on our phone so that everything is an augmented reality experience? And if so, if that's how it's going to manifest itself, what does that mean for brands and businesses? What does that mean for Cornette's clients? That's where my head has to be. And then if it's not that, if it's everybody's going to be able to put their smartphone down on a table and that augmented reality becomes a projection in the room, like you see in The Matrix and some other movies, if that's actually going to happen, what does that mean for businesses and brands and consumers? The one thing that I keep stumbling on for me, and this is my small town background coming out in this whole thought process, is if we're talking about significant changes in technology, like in 2009 when the iPhone came out and the smartphone revolution happened, everybody was like, oh my goodness, the world is different now. We have smartphones. Well, it's only been in the last couple of years, 10, 11, 12 years later, that smartphones are fairly ubiquitous because they're cost prohibitive, right? Not everybody can afford one. And it took a while for the second and third generations that became cheap and you could buy used ones to get down to the people who make an hourly wage and can't afford a smartphone. So if we are shifting into something that's significantly different from a technology perspective, I'm worried about the gap that happens between the haves and the have-nots. Because if the social media, the internet, the way we communicate, the way we have commerce, the way we are dealing with entertainment changes significantly, only the people at the top of the ladder are going to be able to afford it and experience it. The people at the bottom are going to be laggards and have to wait just for a sheer cost factor. However, where that gap creates opportunity, because in my mind, that gap can be filled by brands. And a good, easy manifestation of how to think about that is, if I go to Starbucks once or twice a week, because I'm not a coffee drinker, so I'll go in and get a, hot chocolate or something like that. So if I go once or twice a week max, and let's say I'm an hourly wage employee, or I'm a have not. But I walk in one day and all of a sudden Starbucks has this virtual cafe where I can go in and actually plug into this metaverse, whatever it ends up looking like. Now I'm going to go to Starbucks 4 or 5 times a week. So brands can fill that gap. So I'm worried about the gap. I don't know what the top's going to look like. I don't know what the metaverse is going to look like. But I know instinctively, because of where I'm from and my background, that there's going to be a gap between the people that can afford it and use it and the people who can't. And that's where I see brands being able to fill the space. And so I've got to figure out, whatever that looks like in the future, how can we go to our clients at Cornette and our brands and say, here's how we can empower consumers that don't have access so that we can be a more relevant part of their experience. And so that's where my brain is without having a concrete hand wrapped around what the metaverse is going to look like. Because I still hearken back to Second Life and think, well, that was interesting for a while, but it was way over everybody's head and cost prohibitive and nobody really understood it. Is that what we're moving to? I don't know. I don't think it is. It's going to be different than that, but it's going to have to be more easily accessible, at least on the top end, and then brands are going to have to fill the gap to get to the bottom end too.
Wow, that was a well thought out, probably one of the best thought out explanations of the metaverse from a marketer's perspective. So that was amazing. As we begin to wrap up, I did not warn you, as I usually do, because you're such a frequent visitor to the show here, that we close with a brand that's made you smile recently. So I recognize that I've put you on the spot a bit, but I also know that you're a guy that's full of smiles. So tell me what last made Jason Falls smile.
Well, I know the people in the podcast world, the metaverse isn't sophisticated enough for you to see me while I'm talking here, but I have on a new pair of glasses, and the brand that made me smile most recently, I was having some trouble. So my eyes have been getting worse. I'm getting older and that just happens. So I go in to have my prescription tweaked and they said, yeah, you're right. Your eyes have gotten a little bit worse. So here's your new prescription. And I'm old enough that I do have to have bifocals, which I don't like, but I have to have them. My guy at VisionWorks, which is where I go to here in Louisville, Kentucky. I think his name is Jamal. Jamal looked at me and said, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a marketer. I work at a computer all day and do podcasting and things like that. He said, you know what? Why don't we give you a second? But we've got a deal right now. Buy one, get one. And why don't we get you a second pair with a prescription that's dialed in for computer, specifically for computer viewing, so that the lenses are made so that it's ideal for like 3 to 6 feet or something so that you can see your computer screens really nicely. I didn't even know something like that existed. And so this guy suggests that, and I now have two pairs of glasses. I have my regular pair that I wear, and then I have this nice blue framed rims that are my computer glasses. And when I sit down at my computer, I can see everything. It's amazing.
Nice.
So VisionWorks is my brand that made me smile.
I love it. And I'm also a member of the Bifocals Club as well. I must have had a very similar past year as you. And I believe my eye doctor said that getting bifocals is my reward for getting to stay on the planet for another year. So
that's a great way to look at
it. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. So we've been teeing up the whole podcast for this, but if folks want to learn more about who you are and what you do, where should we tell them to go?
Well, there's two places now. JasonFalls.com is the easy place, and that's where you can get to my podcasts and things like that. But we started out, I think the impetus for the show was talking about the Marketing Podcast Network. And so if you're interested in either, hosting your podcast on our network and being a part of the Marketing Podcast Network, or you are a business that markets itself to business marketers. So if you're a SaaS company or something like that, then you sell, or you're a vendor for agencies or marketing departments at companies, then we have a more effective and more efficient way to get to a marketing audience. And we would love to talk to you about potentially advertising on that network. And that website is marketingpodcasts.net. And you can see our array of shows. We're very small right now, as you heard earlier, but we're growing. We're only a month old. So we will have a nice array, a nice network of shows to be a part of as we progress into 2022. And I'd love to talk to you about that if you're interested.
Awesome. Marketingpodcasts.net. As a reminder, we will link up to all of that as well at onbrandpodcast.com. Jason, thanks for being on brand with us once again.
Thank you, Nick. Great to be here.
And a reminder, if you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile as much as our eye doctors, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Joseph Jaffe hosts a great podcast called Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous. Joseph, tell listeners what to expect from the show where you're not famous.
Joseph Jaffe is still not famous. It's the daily show for business with a little Wayne's World thrown in for good measure. Since March 2020, I've welcomed over 650 guests, including Dan Pink, Tom Peters, Carol Baskin, Patrick Fabian, Robin DiAngelo, and even the very famous Jason Falls. It's a show about hope, positivity, and optimism, or as I like to say, it's not TV, it's HPO, where you'll get eulogy virtues to balance out my very famous guests' resume virtues.
And where can people subscribe?
Check out youtube.com/ Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous. Find the show at marketingpodcast.net or search for Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous wherever you get your podcasts. Enough name recognition for you?
Plenty. And now that you know the name, go subscribe.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.